this is Sarah Reichenader from the Stanford Alumni Association. I'd like to welcome our listeners to our sixth and final book of the 2016-2017 Book Salon season, Born on a Tuesday, a novel by L. Nathan John. Today, I'm sitting down with Noviolet Buluwayo, a Jones lecturer in fiction who selected this book for our community. Thanks so much for joining me, Noviolet.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Noviolet is a Jones lecturer in fiction at the School of Humanities and Sciences. She is the author of We Need New Names, which has received many awards, including the Penn Hemingway Award, the Estelot Prize for Literature, the National Book Foundation 5 Under 35 Fiction Selection. We Need New Names was also shortlisted for the Man Booker Prize and the Guardian First Book Award, and selected to the New York Times Notable Books of 2013 list, as well as many others. Her story, Hitting Budapest, won the 2011 Kane Prize for African Writing. Noviolet earned her MFA at Cornell University, where she was the recipient of the Truman Capote Fellowship. She was also a Stegner Fellow here at Stanford, where she now teaches. Noviolet grew up in Zimbabwe. So, Noviolet, why did you select Born on a Tuesday?
I selected the book because I found it to be topical and timely for how it centered religious extremism and how that can interact with terrorism, which, of course, is one of our most pressing predicaments today. I don't think it's a new story in the sense that it's already present in the reader's imagination, because religious fundamentalism and extremism are very much alive in our world today. Sadly, I think that is our reality. But even with that, I think L. Nathan John sort of takes what is already familiar and works with it to produce a narrative that is both beautiful and fresh. So the novel is a coming-of-age story about a young man. Well, he's a boy when we first meet him. His Hausa name is Tantala, and it translates to Born on a Tuesday, and that's where the book takes its title. He is sent away by his father to Quranic school, and there he becomes part of this group of young boys who are living on the street, and they are caught up in this violent culture of religious and political conflict. So our protagonist is lucky in a sense that he's able to escape and find shelter and stability under an imam. And while that lasts up until his young adulthood, it's not permanent, because once again, that spectre of violence, religious violence kind of, and political violence, because they seem to go hand in hand in this text, it catches up with him and, uproots him from where he is. And again, he in a way starts, is back where he started, in the sense that, you know, his life as he knows it, that stability is gone. But with all, it's a dense novel. It's not a happy story at all. But even with that, I feel like the way that the writer treats his material reminds us that, you know, there is more to life in northern Nigeria than religious extremism and terrorism. And I'm really looking forward to discussing the book with readers.
Thank you. And what is your favorite part of the story?
That's a hard question, because there's so much to love in this book. But I'd say, you know, one of my favorite parts, and this is not a specific section, it's a thing in the book, is when we are reminded that there's so much more than the violence. I enjoyed the treatment of Dantala's sexual awakening, and I like how complicated that play in, I mean, how complicated that journey is for him, in the sense that it comes through sources that are at odds with his religious beliefs. There is porn, I think at some point there is a prostitute. So he kind of has to grapple with, you know, am I a bad person because I am feeling these things or experiencing these things? I also enjoyed his courtship with this beautiful young lady. Her name is Aisha. I enjoyed watching him falling in love, but still struggling to handle that, which really, you know, is an experience that we've all been through. But I thought it made him kind of endearing. And I also enjoyed how Aisha is actually portrayed, because there's this stereotype that, you know, Muslim women can be weak and may sometimes lack agency. But Aisha is strong, she has a voice, she knows what she wants, and she, you know, actually challenges Dantala in terms of how he goes about the courtship process. And also there's so much humor, there's so much, I really laughed a lot when I was reading the book, even though there were moments where I was like, okay, just after laughing, I'm like, okay, maybe I shouldn't have laughed there, but... I think that comes from a writer who's sort of in tune with the humanity of his characters and the space that he's writing about, so that he's able to see, to find humor, to find funny moments where some people may not. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those are some of the things that I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And what issues or points do you think our readers would like to discuss?
I think readers may be interested in the fact that the book kind of edges against reducing Islam to a stereotype, that is, to a violent religion based on some people's willingness. And I think sometimes the media is complicit in this, in reducing a total religion based on the actions of a handful, and those are terrorists. So I think the book is really taking a strong stance. Part of what I admire is that you see at least a couple of faces of this religion. One is violent and the other one is very, very peaceful, which I thought was an important way of framing what sometimes can be hard to appreciate, especially for people outside of the culture. So I think that's something that people are going to talk about. There is quite a bit of violence, or some people may say a lot. It's hard to ignore. And I'm pretty much sure that people are going to talk about that itself, not just its the fact of its presence, but how it is treated and how it affects their experience of the novel. And I'm also curious to see if it's working for people or not. Yeah. And lastly, I think people may also want to talk about how the story is told, why it starts, with a narrator who's around, I think he's around 10 when we first meet him, which is also an interesting choice given what is happening at that point in his life. On a related note, I think there's something interesting happening with language. It's a book that is told in one language, and then, you know, almost, I don't know if it's halfway or before that, another language comes in, you know. Mm-hmm. The narrator starts learning another language. I won't give much at this point. Mm-hmm. And then so it's interesting to think about a text that is working at least on two levels. And as somebody who's interested in languages, I also enjoyed the few languages that are in the text. And I have actually adopted a couple of phrases in my vocabulary. And one last thing, there's a section, maybe this goes to, you know, to answer your question about what, you know, if you're looking for parts. There's a section where the narrator writes out the call to prayer, and he's talking about what that experience does to him. And reading it, of course, it's in a language that I don't understand. It's in Arabic. But reading it, I was blown away by the beauty and the poetry. of the experience, so that I found myself actually going on YouTube and, you know, pulling up a call to prayer so that I could hear it. And it was the most amazing, most poetic sound, really. So yeah, I'm hoping that since we have the luxury really of reading with a source that can sort of complement our experience, maybe readers may also be interested in listening to that as well.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me to introduce the Book Salon to Born on a Tuesday.
Thank you. I look forward to the discussions.
Thanks.